I'd like for everyone to turn to Psalms chapter 40. And I've titled this message, Psalms 40, part one of two. I was going to actually try to squeeze it all in, but you know what? I got to looking and I thought, you know what? It's just so rich. The Bible can be, sometimes it can be just so rich and outpouring that have you ever had a moment to where you read just one scripture, and it just feel like it's pouring in on you? And I don't know how else to describe it. It's just one scripture and can make you pause and think and meditate on that. And if you haven't experienced that, I pray that during your devotions, whatever time you choose, some people do it early in the mornings. I wish I could. I'm more of a night person. That's when my mind begins to quieten down a little bit and I don't have the day to have to think about. Does anybody get distracted when they're praying and whatnot? I do. I start thinking about the day, you know, so it's harder for me in the morning. It's much easier for me at night to do devotion. So I like to pray at night. I like to read, but sometimes I can read just one scripture. And then suddenly my mind is just flooding with the goodness and the greatness that God is doing for us. And so Psalm 40 was one of those particular nights. The other night I was reading Psalm 40. And I always write in my notes. I'm going to give you kind of a little secret here of what I do when I preach. At the very top of my notes, I always write what I call the big idea. Because when you're preaching a message, you better have something, some point you want to make. Some point. And if I haven't made that point, then I've not done everything that I feel like I need to do. So the big idea in this Psalm 40 message is that God is dependable. Now, right now you may say, well, yeah, duh. Of course he is. Let me tell you, folks, David wrote this psalm. David wrote this psalm. And let's start reading, starting at verse 1. We're just going to go through 8 verses, I think, if we can get through them all. We may not. Starting at verse 1 of Psalm 40, it says here, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, I waited patiently for the Lord. Does that line right there not grab you? My goodness, how often have I not been patient waiting on the Lord? It's like I feel like I gotta be doing something. I gotta get my hands in whatever the situation is. Marcia, we were kind of chatting about that a little bit ago. I gotta get involved. It won't get done unless I get involved. Well, that's not what David's telling us. He says, I waited patiently. David was having a rough time, and you'll see that as the song gets further. But he says, I waited patiently for the Lord. Oh, if we could learn patience. If we could learn patience. And then it says, and he inclined. Now, we all know what it feels like to recline. Does anybody have a recliner at their house? Yeah, pretty much all of us. Well, as soon as I sit down in a recliner, I'm usually out, just like that. So we know what a recline is. It's where you back up and you're just laying there and relaxing. Well, he inclined his ear. He inclined unto me. And what did he hear? He heard my cry. Sometimes you got to cry out to him. It might be a loud wail. Okay, I don't know. If you lose someone very special to you, sometimes all you can do is wail. Sometimes. And sometimes all you can do is just say, sweet Jesus, have mercy. Have mercy. And then sometimes all you can do is just be silent and let your heart speak. And believe it or not, all of that is your cry to God. A cry doesn't always have to have a word. God knows what you're feeling. He knows what you're going through. I hear people in here say, pray for me and my family. I have people in my family. I have personally people in my family who need prayer desperately. And I'm waiting as best as I can. I'm waiting patiently. I am looking for God to move. I'm waiting patiently. And I believe He's already inclined His ear to me. I believe He's already heard my cry. And so I'm like David. God, give me patience to wait on You, because I know You've heard me. But then he says this in verse 2. He says, He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. Now, some people think he's talking about a grave. Or he could be talking about something that's just got him down so low. What was the phrase I heard that some people, they feel so low, they feel like a snake in a wagon's rut. I've never heard that phrase before, a snake in a wagon's rut. That means you are low, folks. You are low to the ground. David felt low in a horrible pit, he says. But he goes on to say, and he brought me up also out of the miry clay. You familiar with that? Man, if you've ever worked on a farm, I worked on a dairy farm. And I wore these boots, rubber boots. You had to when you work on a dairy farm, lots of cows. And man, you step in them and you pick your feet up and your boot's gone. You're standing there with your foot out of your boot because it's so miry clay. You're just stuck. You're stuck. Oh, and he set my feet upon a rock and he established my goings. See, David was in something that we might refer to as quicksand. Think about that. Quicksand. You know, if you were to, right now, I doubt if any of us have ever done this, but maybe, I don't know. It depends on where you travel. But if you ever fell into a pit of quicksand, what's the first thing you're going to want to do? You want out. You know, you're going to be doing this. Do you realize the more you struggle, the deeper you're going to go? I feel like that's what was happening to David. Here he was struggling. Things weren't going good for him. And so he waited patiently, and I think I skipped ahead a little bit, because God's help comes not too soon. God's help comes, but not too soon, lest we should not know the blessedness of trusting in the dark. But it's also not too late, lest we should know the misery of trusting in vain. In other words, God comes at the right time. If He comes too soon, you won't learn to trust Him in the dark. But if He comes at the right time, you know, if He comes too late, then you feel like your trust is in vain. Asaph felt that way. Read Psalm 73, folks. Psalm 73, write that down. Read Psalm 73, and you'll understand what I talked about. Because he said, surely I have served the Lord in vain. And you know, a new convert has the advantage of fresh faith. Oh, sometimes people, when they first come to Christ, they're just gung-ho. They're all ready to go. You know, I have faith. I have so much faith right now. I trust God for anything. And then they hit their first trial. Jesus talked about the soils. You know, some people, they have faith right at the beginning, but then all of a sudden the cares of this life, what happens? Comes up, chokes the word, chokes it out of them. So they can't. So here David in verse 2, he's in something like quicksand. And the more you struggle, the faster you seem to sink. And so he's saying, God lifted him up. He brought me up out of this horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet on a rock, something stable. Something he could hold on to, and he established my goings. Now, how happy he was. For he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Do you realize when I see God do something for you, that gives me hope. When God does something for you, that gives me hope, and I hope vice versa. God does something for me, I hope it gives you hope. And the thing is, when I see God moving in other people's lives, I think to myself, yeah, he can do that for me too. God is dependable. He is faithful. And he says here, he's put a new song in his mouth. Some days when you are down in the dumps, down in the miry clay, stuck in the mud, however you want to describe it, you don't feel like singing, do you? In fact, it's hard sometimes to sing. It's hard. Life is hard. Life has struggles in it. We all go through these same struggles. I think Jesus encountered all these same struggles. But he says here, even praise unto our God, and many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. So when I see God performing for you, happening for you, it helps me. Oh, bless the Lord, because in verse 4, he says this, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. Now, here's where David is trying to get a point, this point of trusting in the Lord, and respects not the proud. Respecteth not the proud. The proud people, the experts, the people who you think know everything. Okay, there's a lot of people out here that can really talk a good game, but they don't know what you think they know. Especially today, you read something in the news, I don't give it much credibility. I don't trust it. I can hardly trust anything they tell me in the news anymore. I'd rather trust in the Lord and not put my respect to the proud. And he also says, nor such as turn aside to lies. Some people will turn you around and have you going in a completely different direction if you give them an ear. You start listening to the wrong crowd. You start listening to the wrong crowd, you don't know where you're going to end up sometimes. I think even Pastor Eddie brought that up, and that Jim Jones guy back in Guyana. It was hundreds of people, I think it was. That's where the phrase, you drink the Kool-Aid. They drank poison Kool-Aid over him. They killed themselves over him. Don't know. You know, you give in to lies. But blessed is the man that makes the Lord his trust. That's key. So when we talk about worship in the Bible, we in here as a body of believers, we talk about worship. This is what we call corporate worship. Corporate is really a word we use to talk about a group, a setting, a group setting. You have private worship or devotion, and you have corporate worship, which is what we do every Sunday and Sunday night and Wednesday night. So you have these different types of worship times. And so many people will see because it's public. If you get up, and I love it sometimes, some people will give up and get up and give a wonderful testimony of to what the Lord has done for them this week or something like that. Some nights I think I might do that. I might ask if anybody's got a testimony they want to give so that we can all be encouraged by it, so that many can see it and praise the Lord our God. So God is trustworthy, and he blesses those who trust him. So here we go. What he's talking about here, this is one of the scriptures that just reached out and grabbed me. Because in verse 5, David says this. He says, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, which you have done. Now look at this. And thy thoughts which are to usward, or toward us. Think about that. The Lord right now is thinking about you. He's thinking about you and your situation, Tom. He's thinking about all of you. He's thinking about Nolan. He's thinking about all of you. If we could even count them, the Lord's thoughts, we couldn't. We could never count them. It says here, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. In other words, we can't count them back to him. If I would declare and speak of them, look what it says here. Don't you love it? They are more than can be numbered. Oh man, that scripture just leaped off the page and grabbed my heart, because it's telling me that God, not only is He doing wonderful things, but He says here that thoughts are toward us, and there's so many that we can't count them. Now, there's days when I go and I feel like I'm all alone. I feel like I'm all alone. I'm not. It's Satan trying to trick me. He's trying to trick me that there's nobody with me. Is that what Jesus said? What did Jesus say? Lo, I will be with you to when? Always, even to the end of the world. I got to rely on that. Trust in the Lord and not on those whose thoughts will turn me to lies. And because I know His thoughts, and it's not just here, it's in another place. It talks about how often He thinks about us. Do you think about your children? I hope so. Yeah, sometimes they get on my nerves. They're hyper. Well, they're kids. Oh, I got a... How old is he now, honey? Seven? Yeah. Is he seven already? It's in March. That's right. That's why I get so confused, because we got birthdays in March and February. And so he's six right now. He's going to be seven. But he's a chatterbox. He loves to play his video game, and he likes to... I have to tell you, we play this one game, and I know Eddie said there's no such thing as zombies, but have y'all heard of the Plants vs. Zombies game? Okay. Well, all it is you have these characters that are plants, and you got these other characters that are zombies, and they walk funny, and you know, and all that stuff. Well, I don't care which one I am, the plant or the zombie, Caleb wants to be the opposite. And so here I get into a battle, and I'm battling all the other team. Well, guess what Caleb's doing? He's looking for me. He ain't looking for anybody else to battle, but he's looking for me. And that little smart aleck, he's 6 years old, going on seven. He comes right behind me. He sneaks up behind me, and it's like, pop, 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 pop. He shoots me, and... I'm teaching him not to say, you killed me, because I hate that term. I hate people saying things like that. I say, your player was vanquished, because that's what it actually says on the thing. You have been vanquished. Well, anyway, I'm teaching him to say this, and I keep asking him. I said, Caleb, I said, are you interested in playing, you know, against these other team members? He said, no. I said, I want to battle you. Yeah. Yeah, and I get aggravated, which, truth be known, dear, I cannot play those games hardly more than 15, 20 minutes at a time. My patience is very little when it comes to those games. But he's a chatterbox, but I love him. My thoughts toward my kids, that's my point. My thoughts toward my kids. So when I go out somewhere and I see something and I think to myself, you know what? Caleb would like to have that, but you know, he'll leave it on the floor and I'll step on it. I have neuropathy. I don't want to buy it. So that's usually how the conversation goes, because I can't stand it when I step on their toys. And the thing is, I don't know. My thoughts toward him are very high, but God is thinking about you right now. He's thinking about your traveling situation right now. He knows. He knows. And we will pray. We will pray. Well, we don't have much further to go here. I want to get this. Verse 6. David realized something very important in this psalm. And I don't know if he got it from somewhere else in Scripture or if he got it through revelation. Because David himself, by the way, was a prophet at times. He said, sacrifice and offering thou or you did not desire. Now that's funny. Because their whole system of worship was set up with what? Sacrifices and offerings. But he's saying here, wait a minute. Sacrifice and offerings thou didst not desire. That's not what God wanted. Yeah, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. That was a symbol. That was a type of what was to come, which was Jesus Christ. It was a foreshadow, however you want to look at it. So their sacrificial system in the Old Testament was pointing to someday in the future, to when the final and perfect sacrifice would be made through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that's how we become one of His. And David, he gets this. He finally gets it. He says, sacrifice and offering, you did not desire. And look what he says. He says, my ears hast thou opened. Which I almost think he means more than his ears. It's like his mind. You ever get a revelation or at least a, like, wow. You know, just suddenly something bursts in your brain. I get it. I understand what he's saying here. And David is going, you didn't want sacrifice and offerings. You opened my ears. Burnt offerings and sin offerings, you have not required. Hast thou not required? So he's like, I get it. I finally get it. And these two verses, I want to concentrate on the next two verses for just a little bit. Because, like I said, David was a prophet. And so when you read these two verses, at first they're going to sound kind of odd where they are. But I want to show you why they're not odd. Okay? I want to show you why they're not odd. We're going to end with these two verses. So David, basically, this is all about the heart. He's realizing that it's not about the sacrifices. He's not about the offerings we give to God. And I know we give money to the church, to the Lord. We give money to other people to help. But it's not about the money. What's it about? It's about the heart. It's about you taking what you have and loving people. Loving people. Your resources might not be very high, but once I had an opportunity, I hope this is not wrong to tell it of myself, but I was standing in line, which when you're off work during lunchtime, you don't have a whole lot of time. So here I am in this store, and this poor little kid, he has a handful of change. So he's like this with his handful of change. And actually, there were two kids, but he was the one with the money. There was another kid who, so he was throwing his money up here, and it was pennies and nickels and dimes and whatnot. And the guy was saying, well, no, he said, you can get this candy, but you can't get that candy. And I'm sitting here patiently waiting in line. Well, I'm checking my watch. Lunchtime's going to be over here in a little bit. I got to hurry and get back. And finally, I just said, I told the guy, I said, do you mind if I pay for their stuff? Of course, everybody looks at me like, who's this stranger? I like him. It wasn't much. We're talking just a few dollars. But that's loving somebody. I didn't know these children. And he let me pay for, and they got to keep their change. For the next time when they wanted to come in for some bubble gum and whatnot, I sort of felt sorry for the guy because here he is counting it out and they're putting stuff up on the counter and he's like, no, he said, you don't have enough for that. You had to put something back. And they're both kind of squabbling over what to put back. And so I felt sorry for this poor guy. Anyway, so here they have their candy, whatever it was. And I told him, I said, just add it to my order. And I went ahead and paid for it. And he looked at me and he said, normally, he said, we would do that anyway. He said, we would let them slide a little bit. He said, but once you do it once, he said, then every kid, word spreads, don't it? It spreads like wildfire. Oh, gosh, you walk in that store and you don't have enough money for your candy, they'll give it to you. Well, he said, they can't do it for everybody. So that's the thing. So, you love somebody with what you got, with what you got. And David gets it. He says, sacrifice and offerings you didn't want, But you know, his ears and, or I think his mind was suddenly opened up to this revelation that it wasn't the fact that he wanted burnt offerings and sin offerings. He said, you didn't require that. That's not what you wanted. You wanted something from the heart. So when you come to church, when you are outside this church, let it come from the heart. Please don't do it out of obligation. Don't give out of obligation. The Bible does not want, what's it say? The Lord loves a cheerful giver. It don't have to be a great sum. He just loves. I always think about the woman and the two mites. You remember that story? Jesus is setting off to the side, and it's interesting here. I mean, Jesus knows everything anyway. And he's just sitting here watching people put money in the poor box, basically, if you want to call it something. But they have it in such a way, the way they used to do it, is the top almost had like a little funnel opening, a funnel. And when you, let's say you were a rich Pharisee, most Pharisees had quite a bit of money, and they would give offerings into their poor box. And so they would give money. And what they would do, it would be like me taking a $10 bill, and instead of giving a 10 to the poor box, I'd go out and get like $10 worth of nickels and pennies. Now you can imagine here, I'm walking up like those two little children with just a big handful of pennies and whatnot. And so what am I doing? In this funnel, I'm sitting here doing this, dropping it all in. You hear that noise of all the coins hitting, and it's going into this funnel, which eventually goes on, makes a lot of racket. Makes a lot of racket. Jesus said, don't blow the trumpet when you're putting in money. You're not trying to draw attention to yourself. You know, it's from the heart. And one of the scriptures says, when you give, you know, don't let the left hand know what the right hand's doing. In other words, be secret about it. Be secret about it. And let the Lord know who will reward you openly. But the thing is, that's what they would do. And then this little old lady, who probably needed money out of the poor box anyway, all she had was two mites. That's like a penny to us, two pennies. That was her whole living. That was everything she had. She put it in the poor box. And Jesus said that woman put more than anybody. Why? Because she put all she had. Now, I have a notion, simply because Jesus took notice, I have a notion that that lady was blessed down the road somewhere and somehow. I don't know. I can't see Jesus seeing that happen and not letting anything happen with her. I don't seem like the Jesus I know, does it? I'd say that woman got blessed. But anyway, these two scriptures, which leads to a couple more, but he says this, and this is why I had to kind of split up Psalm 40. Verse 7, he says, then said I. Now here's the problem. Who is speaking? You might want to think David is speaking, but he isn't. That's not who is speaking. You'll see this in just a moment. But this is what David says in his Psalms. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. In other words, there's this scroll, there's this scripture, there's something written about whoever is speaking right now. Something is written. And what is written, it says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. There we are again. It's the heart. It's the heart. Now, you might think this might be David speaking. It isn't. And here's how I'm going to show you it isn't. Because we're going to travel, I don't know how many hundreds of years, but we're going to travel hundreds of years to when Paul was writing, we think it's Paul, we're not quite sure who wrote the book of Hebrews, but Paul, I think, wrote the book of Hebrews, but here's what it says in chapter 10, verses 5 through 10, and I'm just going to go through this quickly, and then we'll close out the service. So he says this. This is Hebrews, New Testament now, not Old Testament, New Testament. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he's talking about Jesus, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. It's talking about Jesus Christ. He prepared a body. Where have we heard this before? In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure or no desire or wasn't required. Where have we heard that before? Psalm 40. Psalm 40. David, suddenly his ears were opened, his mind was opened, he got it. He says, I understand it now. And Paul is pulling from those scriptures, speaking of Jesus Christ. And here you go, almost word for word, not quite, but we're almost word for word. And then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Where have we heard that before? Psalm 40. David, I think, is being a prophet. Paul goes on, or whoever the writer of Hebrews is, in verse 8, he says, above when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, in other words, you had no desire for it, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. The law was what established this, pointing to the way when Jesus Christ would be sacrificed. This was being talked about all the way back during the days of Psalm 40. And that's what I want you to grasp. This is why this scripture just seemed to leap out at me, because suddenly David is getting this revelation. He understands now that God is not all about burnt offerings and sin offerings and these kind of sacrifices. He's all about the heart and how much you desire Him in your heart. And that's where it comes down to. If you came to church tonight out of duty, I feel sorry for you. You come to church, hopefully, to like our little sign says, lift up the name of Jesus. This one over here says, praise Jesus. Worship the Lord. Don't come to hear me. Don't come to hear Eddie. Worship the Lord. Now, sometimes listening to the word and growing in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ is a form of worship. Okay? But you don't stop there. When you walk out these doors, you want to take it with you. You want to take it with you to where you know, you say, you know what? Earl told me that story about where he helped those two little kids. And then suddenly you're going to find yourself in a situation where maybe there's somebody, maybe somebody in your family, one of you in your family, you know, hey, I can help you out. There's something I can do. It may not be money. It may be time. It may be some effort. It may be anything. But my point being, let it come from the heart. That's what David grasped. And so Paul is saying here, above when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. And then he says this. And then said he, this is the person I was asking, who's doing the speaking? It's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, meaning the old covenant, that he may establish the second, the new covenant. Praise the Lord. That just grabs me. That just grabs me. And then finally, we're going to end with this scripture here. By the which, meaning his sacrifice, by the which we are sanctified. Am I reading that right? Yes. Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It's no more of this burnt offerings and sin offerings and sacrifices. And I mean, he even calls it sometimes, we give him offerings of sacrifices of praise. You know, we don't have to kill an animal anymore. David, his mind exploded, I think. He finally got it. His ears was opened. His mind just suddenly realized that, you know what? that's not what God wants. God doesn't want all these sacrifices I'm doing. He wants it from the heart. And here we go. We got Paul pulling out of the same Psalm 40, talking about Jesus Christ being that perfect sacrifice so that, here we go, so that we will be sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So my conclusion to this whole thing, without our hearts, okay, without our hearts, and a delight to do His will. That's why I say you got to be, don't do it grudgingly. Don't do it grudgingly. Yeah. I just found out, that shows you how much I know. I just found out today is the Super Bowl. Yeah, I just found out that today is the Super Bowl. I didn't know when it was. I knew it was close, I just didn't know. But if I would have sat home and go, oh man, church tonight, I want to watch the Super Bowl. I'm going to let you out quickly here in a moment if you want to finish watching the Super Bowl. But my whole point being, if you came to church grudgingly, well, I hope you got something out of it. But if you came with a heart of worship, oh, what a blessing. What a blessing. So without our hearts and a delight to do His will, including the offering of sacrifices of praise and of glory, then we're just going through the motions. We're just going through the motions. And God doesn't like that either. If you think you're doing a big sacrifice to God, if I think I'm getting up here playing the guitar and I'm, you know, I'm tired, I was up late last night and I'm sitting here playing the guitar and I'm just doing it out of duty. You know what? Out of duty. I'm not even worried about worship, not even worried about whether you worship. Well, that's sad for me, isn't it? Because my whole idea is to try to help lead worship. Now, I'm not much of a singer. My wife's got the vocal cords in our family. But the thing is, I can sing, and I sing unto the Lord. Let your heart be cheerful. Let your heart think of Him. Let your heart notice it's your heart that He's interested in and not all your stuff. Yes, life's going to be tough. Life's going to make you feel like you're in the miry clay. You're at a bottom. You're in a horrible pit, He says. I felt like I was in a horrible pit. But I waited. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord. And guess what? The Lord picked Him up and put Him on a rock. He'll do the same for you. He'll do the same for you. Please stand. Heavenly Father, oh, how we give You praise for what You've done, that once and for all perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Oh, that it comes out of even Psalm chapter 40, and Lord, brought into Hebrews chapter 10. Lord, we see how they connect. We see, Lord, how the old and the new, how they connect to each other. And Lord, we're so thankful because now we get it, because David figured it out. He understood that it's not the sacrifices that You wanted. It's the heart that You're after. You're after our heart. Your thoughts are so much toward us that we can't even fathom the number. And so, Lord, I pray, God, that You'll just instill within us a desire for You, a revival in our hearts, Lord, something that needs to be awakened. Lord, wake us out of our sleep. Wake us out of our slumber so that we may worship You and praise You and glorify You, not just inside this room, but whenever we walk out these doors. We can serve people, Lord. We can touch somebody else's lives in a positive way. Help us to do that and not in a negative way. Let us be children of the light and not of the dark. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus as we close this service, Lord, that I pray that You'll bless each and every one in this room and each and every one who has family members that need to be brought to Christ. Lord, I pray that You'll do a mighty work in the future. And may we see it. May we see it by testimony or by actual visual, that we can see it and magnify the name of the Lord thy God. Praise the Lord. Amen.